WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Storms moving along the East Coast are part of the same system that spawned deadly tornadoes across the central U.S. over the weekend. At least 23 people have died, including two children, in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Virginia, and Texas.
We're in it. I can't do anything.
Cover your head.
As that tornado hit, best friends Valina Gill and Brenda Dance thought they were driving away from the storm, but instead drove right into it.
I feel for everybody else that is injured and don't have homes or clothes.
That's CBS's Meg Oliver reporting. The UN Security Council will hold an emergency meeting tomorrow after some 45 people are killed in a Rafah tent camp. More from CBS's MTS Tayeb.
Following the series of airstrikes by Israeli warplanes, fire raged through the makeshift encampment in Rafah's Tel al-Sultan area in what's being described as the tent massacre. The horrifying aftermath defies belief. Bodies burnt beyond recognition. A man holding the body of a child beheaded from the force of the blast. As first responders rushed to treat those who were sheltering in what was a designated safe zone for civilians.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls the airstrike a tragic mistake. Closing arguments are set to begin tomorrow in former President Donald Trump's trial involving alleged election interference and so-called hush money payments to former adult film star Stormy Daniels. CBS's Robert Costa reports.
The jury of seven men and five women, including two lawyers, will deliberate in secret, and there is no time limit. Trump is charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records related to the Daniels payments, and jurors will need to evaluate each count.
More than 2,000 people are believed buried alive in a massive landslide in Papua New Guinea. That, according to the country's National Disaster Center. Sirhan Akoprak is with the International Organization for Migration and says the chances are very slim that anyone can be taken out alive.
The problem is it is so deep, it's very difficult to recover the bodies from underneath the heavy debris.
President Biden at Arlington National Cemetery honors veterans on Memorial Day by laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He says of those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for this country.
Decade after decade, tour after tour, these warriors fought for our freedom and the freedom of others. Because freedom has never been guaranteed. Every generation has to earn it.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is in Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers put together a late-inning rally to beat Chicago 5-1 in front of over 41,000 fans at American Family Field. The play of the day, bottom of the eighth, Willie Adames at the plate, Brian Anderson with the call. Wisconsin Valley Sports.
Wisneski deals, Adames center field, Bellinger on the run.
Adames on taking a swing with three balls and no strikes.
Well, I don't really like to swing 3-0, but today it's just the right
opportunity, the right moment, and the right situation. I think today we got the results we wanted.
Meanwhile, the Cubs' offensive drought continues. Manager Craig Counsell.
We talked about margin. You're in this low run scoring environment a couple weeks now.
From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening showers and storms, then partly cloudy and low 50s overnight. Some sun to start tomorrow, then some afternoon showers once again. Highs in the mid-60s. Sunny and around 70 Wednesday. Thursday highs warm to the low 70s. Chance of rain as well. Currently at 62 degrees.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Pete will return with live programming on Wednesday, May 29th.
Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a Thursday night. We are having some fun here tonight. Little live music in the studio, thanks to Ask Your Mother and Eric Stretch Rathsek and Adam Freakin' Krause.
Yeah.
They're here with me, and they're helping me read text. Papa Rico says, I yield to Conrad's mom for top texter. I learned from my papa, just let her win. He's a very courteous texter. I will say that about Papa Rico. And then he says, and then we'll be able to go fishing sooner. I don't understand that part. Oh, he's saying if you
let mom win,
no, then we can go fishing. Wow.
It's not a Fredo Corleone situation.
I hope not. Okay. I really don't know Papa Rico. I only know him of his text, and he could go pro, but I hope he's not in for a Fredo. Fredo moment.
Papa Rico. I mean,
that's a great name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
That's the kind of name that sounds like you could get whacked.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, no disrespect, Papa Rico. If you are that type of human being, please. Conrad told me to say it. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. So, Eric and Adam are back. That's just so great. That was a great song by the Foo Fighters.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Guys. Just
we love
crushed
that one.
It. And so at the Grammys, and this is what we were talking about mm-hmm. before, you guys said you play all genres.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I loved the song Fast Car growing up. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of new country music. I know some old, but I love when there is genre crossing and like Luke Combs and Tracy Chapman singing it together. Mm-hmm. I'm a Luke Combs fan now. Like mm-hmm. the benefits of that are amazing.
So, yeah, it's cool. And I've always kind of been like a Luke Combs fan to begin with. And then, I actually honestly think Fast Car is one of his worst songs, but I mean, it's a good song, but that just tells you like how good his other stuff is, you know?
Yeah.
His original stuff. Like, and I understand why he did the cover because it was like his dad's favorite song. It was kind of a tribute for his dad.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
Yeah, that's why he did it. So
he told me, listen to me.
Is he here?
No.
Oh, good. Cause Stretch was running down.
We
it's going to come out from back.
And like, we actually were friends. We had a falling out. I don't like to get into it. But he said in an article I read that Fast Car was his favorite song before he knew what a favorite song was.
Oh, that's
probably
cool.
His dad.
Yeah.
And he probably doesn't care. He's like, I'm covering Fast Car because it has sentimental value. Mm-hmm. And how cool to be at a point in your career where you can tick off a stretch and he's still.
I didn't say the song. I didn't say I hated the song. I just think it's his like not one of his best. He's got much better ones out there.
Yeah. I think you said you hated it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to break you guys up tonight.
Yeah, no. If we haven't broken ourselves up, like it's not just going to happen. No.
Is it too late for me to become a rocker?
You? No.
Never.
Absolutely not.
Never.
No.
You guys are just saying that.
No.
What's your favorite venue in Green Bay to play? You guys play all around. And you play all over the state, really, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite venue in the state? And then what's your favorite in Green Bay?
I'd say most recently in Green Bay would be Stadium View. We've had some good shows there.
Yeah.
Those have been fun. For Packer parties, we really like doing Kroll's. That's a staple.
Yeah.
Those are any Packer party in Green Bay is always a a rocker.
Outdoor, having a good time with people right. before and after the game.
Looking ahead, I haven't played the Epic, so I can't comment on it. I've been to the Epic for three different concerts, and it is an awesome venue, and I am just even more excited to play it. So
yeah. What is
that'll
that
probably
hold?
Take that'll probably take over my new favorite spot in Green Bay, but we'll see.
Preemptive
we'll
answer.
See. I have no idea what was it hold. It's got to be over 1,000
at
it?
Least. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it's kind of intimate. I was thinking it was like this bigger.
No, it's okay. called the Epic Event, but it's actually like there's not a bad spot to stand and watch a show.
It's a great place to see mm-hmm. wow. to see a concert.
Yeah. And that's March 29th, right?
Yeah.
And people still
yeah
get
with
tickets?
Our friends with the yeah with our friends in the glam band, and then there's I forget the band that's opening for us. It's a younger band, newer band.
Some new kids coming up. Some young bucks, whippersnappers.
They'll probably make us look bad and then be like, oh, yeah, those yeah. kids were awesome at open, but that band after them. Ooh. Good thing we got glam band sandwiched in
very
them.
Much.
Right.
So what about in the state? Are there other venues you like outside of Green Bay? I know you've been on TV in Milwaukee and yeah. traveled around.
You know, you can't go wrong with Summerfest.
No,
you know,
we've those stages Summerfest. Are amazing yeah. there.
And you get to play in front of different people there. I mean, people, we love our fans, and a lot of them travel to see us down there. But you play Summerfest, man, it's a different vibe. Even Wisconsin State Fair.
Yeah, that's
you
know, a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great time and great people just having a good time, wanting to hear good music.
Are crowds different around the state? Are there different crowds in Green Bay than you'd see in Milwaukee, or are they?
You know, it's interesting. I think there probably is. For what we do, we kind of strike a nice mix, you know, like we talked about the music, but mm-hmm. good is good. You know, if you're yeah. having a good time and people are having a good time, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from, what city you live in, why you're there that day, what's going on in your life. You can have a good time with Ask Your Mother. And we see that wherever we are.
That's so cool. I saw on your website, I love you had, it was almost like a mission statement.
Yeah.
Like you guys want to bring your A game to every show because yeah. the yeah. people are there to see it. And how important is the peripheral, like, or the aesthetics? Like you talk about great sound and lighting
for sure
to complement mm-hmm. your music. Talk about what goes into putting a complete show together.
Well,
like
we've taken it to a level of with the banners where like we used to have like three banners that we'd hang up, and that was actually kind of a lot for some bands. Some bands would barely hang up one, you know? So I was always, like, since I don't have any instruments to set up, I was always the banner guy. So I would.
And you're tall.
Yeah,
that probably
it helps.
He's
helps
probably the tallest in the
probably.
Band. We haven't measured.
Yeah, probably the tallest. We've never officially done a weigh-in or height.
You should measure everybody
should
measure. During a
we
show.
Should.
That
we
would
should.
Bring it
we
to
should,
a
we should actually have Ask Your Mother trading cards yes. with our heights and stats on them. But no, so like we started out with like three banners, and we're so lucky that we have Kevin in the band because he does all the graphic artists, and he just does all the graphic arts for it, and he's like super good at it. And so he made the first original logos and everything else. And then he was like, we need to do something different. So like after COVID, we're like, we should come up with some new banners. Like that'll change the whole look and everything. And then we had the idea to offset the banners. So we actually will put up like 9 banners across the back.
Nice. It's really, it's wow. it's an experience. You
yeah.
know? It's not, you can go see, there's a lot of talented musicians, obviously in this
yeah,
area
for sure.
or the state, but man, you want to go to a show, you want to have an experience, you want to have something you can remember, and we
right.
want to bring that to you. And that's the banners, it's the sound. We work with some amazing sound engineers and sound companies. And we have, you know, like you had mentioned, we bring it, you know, no show is really, you know, there's 10 people there, and that doesn't happen to us as much
care.
Anymore. It's happened before, of course, happens to every mm-hmm, band.
Sure.
But you want those 10 people to have a good time. Like, it's
yeah.
not, it's about giving it every time you're out there. We've got the banners, we got the sound. For my money, we got the best looking merch girl in the state, and that's Erin frickin' Krause, my wife. And occasionally Lily is there too. So we got the best looking merch people around, I think.
I agree with that.
That's awesome. That's a great note. You guys got another song in you
sure.
for us? All right.
What are we doing now?
We should, you know, let's talk about our lives. Let's talk about that semi-charm life that you seem to lead.
Yeah.
You want to do that one?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Let's do that one.
All right, Eric one. And Adam from Ask Your Mother.
I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm smiling, she's leaving, she's going, she leaves for me. Said she leads to me evasion, her own motivation. She comes round and she goes down on me.
and I make a smile like a truck for you. Remember what you want to do, coming over you. Keep on smiling what we go through. Won't stop to the rhythm I devise you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. I chop on the line like a quota with a curse. I come on like a freak show, take the stage. Giving the games to play. She said, I want something else to get me through this. See me charm kind of life. Baby, baby, I want something else. Not listening when you say goodbye. The sky was gold, it was rose. I was taking sips of it to my nose. Wish I could get back there someplace, back there, smiling in the pictures you would take. I know I'm crystal, but then lift you up until you're breakable. Stop, won't come down and keep stock with the tick-tock rhythm. I bumped for the drop and then I bumped up. I took the hit that I was given and I bumped again and I bumped again. I said, how do I get back there to the place where I fell asleep inside you? How do I get myself back to the place where you said, come on, I want something else to get me through this. Simon Charm kind of love, baby, baby, I want something else. Not listen when you say a goodbye. I believe in the sand beneath my toes. Beach gives a feeling, an earthy feeling. I believe in the faith that grows. And the four eye chords can make me cry. When I'm with you, I feel like I could die. And that would be alright, alright. And when the plane came in, she said she was crashing. The velvet rips in the city, we tripped on the earth to feel alive. Now I'm struggling to survive those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Those little red pennies, they passed the test. Suffer from the belly face down on the mattress one. And you hold me, we are broken. Still tell that I want to feel just a living. I feel myself and made out the ground. I'm scared I'm not coming down. No, no. And I won't run for my life. She got a chance to back down with a smile, but nothing is alright. Alright. And I want something else to get me through this life. Baby, I want something else. I'm not listening when you say goodbye. A goodbye. A goodbye. Goodbye. I was taking sips of it to my nose. Wish I could get back to someplace back there. And I played for you, star, star, wah, 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 wah. I want something else.
We'll be right back with a couple more minutes with Eric and Adam. That was awesome, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
More coming up on Nightlight.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends? To work on your attention span? Or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up.
Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Pete will return with live programming on Wednesday, May 29th.
We're back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, broadcasting live statewide from downtown Green Bay at our City Deck Landing Studios at WGBW. Ask Your Mother is in studio.
Hello.
Eric Stretch Resek and Adam Freakin' Krause. Mm-hmm. The whole Freakin' Krause family apparently is involved in the band, selling merch, and they're all good-looking people.
You know it, man.
Oh, absolutely.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
So where can people find out more about your shows coming up at the Epic and what you have, the Country versus Rock? Where can they find that out?
So first and foremost, we're all over social media. So you can find us on Facebook, like us there. We got stuff on there. Instagram as well. We're also on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find us there, AYM Band, AskYourMotherBand.com. We have our website as well. Everything's on there. So
look us up on CCAP.
No, don't.
No, don't do that.
Stop telling people to do that.
Because they're bad. I won't even ask.
There's a lot there. Okay. A lot to work with.
I don't want to get pulled into court. So I'm going to stay out of this one.
Facebook's a great place. Go follow us there. And we've got our whole schedule up there. We were talking about.
Events, we post them all the time.
Yep.
How far do you guys travel? Will you go all over the state?
Oh, yeah.
If the money's right, I assume, or?
Money or opportunity, right? You know,
exactly.
It can be.
We've gone as far as the UP.
Yeah.
Whole other state.
The whole other state of the UP.
We actually almost had a show in Iowa one time, but we had something else going on. We were going to go out there with some friends of ours.
You know, we refused to play their fight
song. Because of their Iowa, their state song.
Yeah.
Conrad, give us a couple seconds of the Iowa, the swear part.
The swear one.
Yeah. How horrible. You probably didn't hear this.
We did.
We did.
We're losing it.
Is this the worst state song ever? And they swear. All right, that's good.
Iowa, why did you steal O Tannenbaum?
Why'd you steal a Christmas song?
Yeah.
Couldn't they just, they could have come to you guys. You could have wrote a nice song.
We would have came up with
Iowa, Iowa, you got the corn.
That's all you
Is
need.
Is that all? That's more
lyrics than are in the actual song right now. So, all right. So what I do on this show, you guys, mm-hmm. just got you for a couple more minutes. So.
Sure.
Well, we talk about movies and TV. My background is in movies and TV.
And I love movies and TV.
So yes. What are you guys watching? Let's start with Adam. What do you watch? What do you binge watch and what do you cringe watch?
Oh, they are. Okay, there's a few here. So right now, really into the new season of True Detective. I do love that show. It's been crazy this year. I've been enjoying that quite a bit.
Let's do a deep dive into that.
Okay.
I love the first season.
Yes.
But one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Incredible.
Second one, I could not. Even
couldn't do the awful. Vince Vaughn, yeah.
No, and I love Vince Vaughn. I couldn't do it.
Vaughn, Colin Farrell, and they somehow screwed it up.
I know.
How?
The third season, Mahershala Ali, Stephen Dorff, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
This season, I can't make up my mind. Do you love it?
I love it.
I think I like it, but I don't know. Yeah,
I love that it feels like a little bit more like The X-Files, which I love.
Oh, it does.
Right,
yeah.
So I'm liking that. And then from binge watching, honestly. My wife and daughter had me watch 1,000-Pound Sisters. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Is that the show just like it sounds?
It's exactly what it sounds like. And you know what? They're the two main sisters, they're real sweethearts, and you really want to root for them. So it is a good-hearted show, but there are parts of it that I struggle with.
I would imagine. Yeah. That would be hard to watch somebody
but
struggling.
But once you start, you can't stop watching it. It's a good show and a good good story, I think, too.
Okay, so. Good picks.
Yeah.
What about you, Eric?
For me, I mean, I love a ton of movies. I watch a ton of movies. I'm really excited about seeing the Iron Claw once that comes out.
Yeah, yeah,
about the Von Erichs, because Adam and I have a weird wrestling thing that we love wrestling. So I'm constantly sending him clips.
Like classic wrestling.
I was excited when Donald Trump became president, not because I wanted him to be president. I was excited that he became president because now our president had a Stone Cold Stunner happen to him. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin gave him his finishing move.
Oh,
Yeah. I always wanted our president to have that happen to him.
I'm glad that's how you choose how to vote for the
leader.
That's
not how I voted. That's not how I voted for Stone. Because
I would
Stone
be careful because somebody could pull like a Tanya Harding on you when you're going into the voting. Just voting on wrestling moves.
Is we don't get involved with politics and they stay out of our entertainment. Yeah. But I just thought it was funny that
happened.
So I want to see that movie really bad. I guess it's coming out pretty soon to streaming. But as far as the TV shows go, I just finished all of Suits. I like that show.
I have to check that out.
I hear it's great.
It was a good show. I felt like it got a little repetitive at points, but it was pretty good. It was well done. I like the guy who plays Harvey is perfect. And you know, his cohort that he's always, what the heck is his name? I can't think of his name now for the life of me, but he's funny on it too. Lewis is his name. They're always making fun of Lewis. As far as now, I'm finally watching Walking Dead. I haven't seen any.
Nice.
I started watching it years ago, and then I stopped. And then my wife and I, we need another show. All right, so we started watching it, and I'm hooked. I think I'm on season 4, and we started watching it like a week ago.
That's what we did. My wife and I, we like the show Bosch. The detective show. And we just had an actor from Bosch on the show the other night. We said, here's what we're going to do. For the last season of Bosch, she's a teacher. Come home, order a pizza. We'll watch the first 4 episodes in one night, serious binge, and we'll finish it over the weekend. We ended up starting Bosch at 4 in the afternoon. We watched the entire season in one sitting. We were done at like 1 in the morning.
That's amazing.
It was, but we felt kind of crummy. It's like, what do we do tomorrow?
It's such
a
letdown when it's over. Like, you feel sad about it.
But The Walking Dead, I'm the same way. I loved the first few seasons. Yeah. And I watched the pilot 3 or 4 times. It's so creepy and so well done when he wakes up in that hospital.
Yeah.
So good.
No, I love that. And then, they're at the prison now. That's kind of a cool dynamic. Yeah. And, you know, it's very, I like end of world stuff. I'm weird that way.
There's a lot of it out there these days. Yeah.
I like, you know, trying to plan out what my plan would be.
Just sing yourself into oblivion. Yeah,
right. No, it's a good thing that I know how to shoot ducks. That's all I'm saying. Because that's going to be my go-to. Like once bad things happen,
it's
I'm
not
just
a bad plan.
Start hunting all my ducks.
Do you guys have a favorite Super Bowl snack?
Ooh.
Super Bowl snack. Well, right now I'm in a weight loss challenge, so I get no Super Bowl snacks.
Celery.
It's not even that. Like, it's like broccoli and like lean beef right now. But like, if I had to pick one, like, you can't go wrong with taco dip. That's a great choice.
That was
and
great
wings,
suggestion.
Of course. If you can gotta have wings.
Yeah, if you can get taco dip with the major scoops, the Frito
Absolutely.
Scoops.
Yeah.
You load that thing up.
You can shovel more food into
That's
your
right.
person. I agree.
For sure.
What about you, Adam? You got a favorite Super Bowl snack?
I am I'm a Bloody Mary guy. I don't know if that's a snack.
That's a snack.
Is that a snack?
If you got all the garnishes.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think
I've got a hamburger attached to it.
Taco dip and a Bloody Mary. I'm a happy man.
Oh, your mom brought us taco dip after a show
she,
one
you know
time.
What?
And
she
it was
did.
That
yeah.
was one of my favorite shows of all time because there was taco dip at the end of it.
That's true.
How fun do these guys sound? Check them out. It's the shows are March 29th at the Epic. And then where is the show again? And what's the date for the grandmother of all shows? Country versus
It'll Brian. Be next weekend, next Saturday
next weekend.
At Tanner's with our friends in Grand Union. Be alternating sets and be a good time.
Awesome. Let's ask your mother. Check them out. Eric Stretch Rathsack, Adam Freaking Krause. Thanks for spending time with me tonight, guys. You guys are awesome.
Hey,
thank you
so much for having us, Pete. It was a great
Anytime.
Time.
Anytime. Come
thank
back
you.
Soon.
Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we're going to talk some independent film with Nick and Caitlin are going to be here. From the Green Bay Film Festival. So that's coming up on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. At least 23 people have died in weekend storms. CBS's Meg Oliver.
The powerful series of storms rolled through 7 southern states. packing dangerous winds and hail in some parts.
Weather is affecting holiday travel. FlightAware.com reports 511 total airline cancellations within, into, or out of the U.S. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls a fiery airstrike on a tent camp in Rafah a tragic mistake. At least 45 people are dead. CBS's MTS Taya.
Mainly families gathered in shock at what happened. And as children dug through the scorched remains of a food distribution tent, trying to salvage whatever they could with their bare hands.
Closing arguments begin tomorrow in former President Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial. CBS's Robert Costa.
Jury instructions from the judge expected Wednesday, followed by jury deliberations. A verdict could come as early as this week.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cuts are coming to another Wisconsin college. The Turbo University in La Crosse is trying to lower expenses. 27 jobs are going away. Viterbo's president says enrollment is shrinking and the university's deficit is growing. The Biden administration is expanding health coverage to children of immigrants in the DACA program. DACA participants in the U.S. are three times more likely than the general population to be uninsured. Aline Yuriko Badillo Carrillo is in the DACA program.
Not just for me, but I think it's a communal benefit. If I have access to medical care, then I'll be able to be healthier, and then I'll be able to help others.
Badillo Carrillo says immigrants and their families work many jobs vital to the economy. This is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. Eight of the top 10 nominees come from just three shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening showers and storms, then partly cloudy and low 50s overnight. Some sun to start tomorrow, then some afternoon showers once again. Highs in the mid-60s. Sunny and around 70 Wednesday. Thursday highs warm to the low 70s. Chance of rain as well. It's 60 right now.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Pete will return with live programming on Wednesday, May 29th.
Through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Boy, that was fun. Great to have Ask Your Mother in the studio, Eric and Adam. They were so much fun to spend time with. Love the music. Love live entertainment in the studio. Conrad, we got to get them to play that Iowa song, though. They need to. seem to like it. I could see them covering that.
They need to make a better song, actually, a better jingle for Iowa.
I agree. We got some texts we'll get through here, then we'll get to our next guest. Where am I here? Crudy gave me the Papa part. Okay, Papa Rico. He was just Rico until Mike Crute gave him the Papa. Okay, I like this background now about our texters. Christy Barleman says, decades. I assume she means a venue. Papa Rico, again, there's a backstory involving Charlie Barron's, some Brewer tickets, and a girl named Maggie. That sounds like a movie, right? I think it's an independent film. Christy Barleman, awesome job, guys. Papa Rico, hey, would Eric do a white rap song? Why do you have to make it about color, Papa Rico? There's white rappers. Some white guys can dunk. There are black country singers. I'm just kidding you. I wish I would have seen that. I would have asked him to do it. That would have been fun. Papa Rico says, I got one in the works. He's working on a rap. Snack, Rico's Pico de Gallo sounds good. Okay, do you guys have a favorite Super Bowl snack? That's our question of the night.
Super Bowl snack?
Yeah.
I mean, wings are a classic.
Wings,
right?
You can't go wrong with wings,
you can't
wings,
really
right?
go wrong with wings. And, you know, you don't need utensils and...
Yeah.
It's
like an excuse to be messy and make a scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? I'm a soft pretzel guy.
Ooh, interesting.
Because you could have it with cheese, you could have it with mustard, you could have it with marinara. Like,
I like that.
It's just a pretzel, but there's so many options.
That's an offbeat Super Bowl snack. Mm-hmm. Folks, you are hearing the voices of our two representatives from the Green Bay Film Festival. Nick Watier, am I saying that right?
Yes, Watier.
Yeah. Watier, okay.
It's perfect.
And Caitlin Shuchart, nice to have you guys here.
Nice
I said that
you.
Right, right?
Shuchart. Well,
oh, did I not?
Some people in the family even say it differently. It's Shuchart, like a shoe cart.
Okay.
Shoe with cart. Or
is that what brought your family Shuchart. To America?
This is my married name, so
oh,
I don't
man.
Have the history for you.
So if your husband's family doesn't even have it straight, I'm not going to feel as bad.
There's a law offices up in, you said you're in Marinette, the Shuchart law offices. I don't know them, but yeah, it's right off of when you're coming in on 41 there.
Are they the are they in competition with the Schwabba law offices?
They must be. I mean,
that's not me, but my dad, my brother. So let's not give anyone free advertising.
Let's not.
They can pay like everybody else.
Right.
I don't care if they're Schwabbas or Shuchart or carts or whatever the heck. Great to have you guys here. First of all, I want to say, okay, I went to your website, mm-hmm. and Nick, you're the treasurer
yes.
for the film festival, and Caitlin, you are the festival
acting director. Mm-hmm.
Acting director. Okay, mm-hmm. whoever did your artwork, I looked at your website. It's beautiful.
That's Cindy.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Cindy Sweetland, another member of our board of directors.
Well, is that a logo, or is that change every year, or is that a T-shirt? What is
yeah,
that? It was so beautiful.
We do a different logo every year for the theme.
Okay.
And... because we're doing these multiple events per year, we have like a logo stinger for each of those events.
Okay.
So like this Saturday, we're doing a Wisconsin's own event, and you know the logo represents that.
Okay.
And later this year, there's an Indigenous Stories, and you know, what is it? The female
Women's perspective.
Yeah.
So, noir. Yeah.
Film noir. Yeah.
When's that?
That's gonna be in October.
I love film noir.
Yeah, we're going to have a really cool slate of films
okay.
for you for that. And you know, in the fall and the cold and the...
Yeah.
It's a perfect time. Yeah.
I might try to slap together a movie quickly and see if I can slap together a noir. I bet that phrase has never been said. Let's slap together a noir.
You'd be surprised. You'd
yeah,
be surprised.
Probably.
Yeah.
So what does the artwork mean? Is it representative of any of those themes you just said, or
well, our theme for the year is the power of storytelling. So, kind of each of those tiles should kind of draw you into each of the sessions. So, Wisconsin Zone is kind of a, you know, Wisconsin filmmakers, Wisconsin themed. So, the detective one, you know, should give you the detective vibe, you know, the Great Lakes one will have water. You know?
That's a good.
So it should give you a hint, but make you kind of want to know more about what we're showing.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners a little bit more about the Green Bay Film Festival. How did this come to be? The history? How long have you guys been involved? Tell us a little backstory.
I'll defer to Nick because he's been here a lot longer than I have.
Well, I have a few years. But the Green Bay Film Festival was founded, 14 years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was around the time when they were shooting the Johnny Depp film Public Enemies in the Oshkosh area. And at that time, there were a bunch of tax credits going on for bringing film to the Green Bay area, to the state of Wisconsin, really.
Right.
And you know, these programs have been really successful in other states. Like, what do you see on TV that doesn't have Made in Georgia at the end these days? It's crazy, right? And a lot of general television consumers don't understand that's a tax credit deal.
Right.
You film in Georgia, you get a bunch of tax credits, and then you have to tag them at the end of the project. Well, the state of Wisconsin ran this program. Public Enemies wrapped, and whoever the accountants looked at it and went, holy cow, we can't afford to keep doing this, before they ever really got a chance to see the trickle-down economics that's going to happen of, you know, potential tourism boost, manufacturing boost, you know, getting the Wisconsin workforce up to be ready to support those film projects without having to hire people in from out of state.
Right.
And that was really the goal of the tax credits. So, and not myself, other people, past board members, were really inspired in this moment to see what we could do to help Wisconsin up their game and get more people in the game of promoting independent film and creating. Because to be quite frank, there just aren't a ton of local artists in that film media. So what they've tried to do and what we've continued to do is to try to grow Green Bay as kind of a central hub of media enjoyment and creation.
Yeah.
And we've really focused a lot for the last 14 years worth of festival on trying to educate the local audience on the fact that you can take a risk and buy a ticket and go see something that hasn't been approved by the studio system, that doesn't have Tom Cruise on the poster, and it can still be good. It doesn't
have the parameters of a studio film.
Right.
I've worked in that system, and they want you to hit this beat and this beat, and this character can't do that. That's unlikable. This independent film, you have a blank canvas, and they're not all great, but when you hit a great independent film, to me, that's...
So, and I'll address that right off the bat.
Yeah.
We have a team of screeners. Like as treasurer, we're all volunteer. Nobody is staff. Nobody's paid. Our board of directors is all giving their time. I don't really have a lot of time to watch the films that get submitted. Okay. Our screeners, we have, what is it now, 8-10 screeners this year?
Yeah, it's a baker's dozen, something like that.
Yeah. And that number's, fluctuated over the years, but that team will go through 200 to 300 films a year to pick out what we essentially give them is 16 to 30 hours of playout time. And I don't know how they do it. They watch everything. We give the feedback to the filmmakers so that they know why they were or were not selected. Okay. And then we try to showcase the best of the best. So we've actually gotten a lot of feedback that we're too picky. That,
listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. So that's all the more reason to go, in my opinion.
That's what we've really focused on. And our team through the past, and to be quite frank, there's been some disagreements between me and other members of the board on I want to support more local filmmakers. And they're like, but we want the audience to really love what they see.
Yeah.
So we have this ongoing, I don't want to say battle, but this conversation about, we want people coming to the festival to understand that indie is great and indie is a place to come see a story you can't hear any other way. Right. Some of the documentaries that we've played, unbelievable stories from the Middle East that you'll not hear or understand in any better way. And it's not, big National Geographic money producing it. It's a person without a board telling him how to censor, going out and gathering those stories.
Maybe guerrilla style and maybe dangerously. That's phenomenal cinema.
So we work our hardest to get the best of the best here, grow our local audience and appreciation. And in the last few years, we've been expanding to help those local artists in the way of funding, we offer a fiscal receivership, fiscal sponsorship program, which allows people to make charitable donations to our 501c3, use the donor's choice program to designate which of our called out projects they want that money to go towards, and we help fund films. So we've got films in process right now that people are donating money to us and saying, hey, I want this to go towards the Scott Alwyn project, Honor in the Air. And then as the Honor in the Air film is being made, you know, it costs money. You hire an audio guy, you hire a videographer. Those invoices come to the festival or Film Green Bay Incorporated, our actual legal name. And we pay those invoices on behalf of the filmmaker.
Is anybody else doing that?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Oh, is it really?
Especially if it's a, like, you see this a lot in documentary film, but you can do it in any way that fulfills our mission and vision statement, really.
Okay.
But you'll see it a lot in documentary film because people will apply for grants. Well, the government doesn't want to give Joe Schmo off the street $20,000 to go buy a boat and never finish this project.
Right.
So we have this accountability part in the middle to make sure that that money is going towards the project, being used in a way that, you know, supports the mission and vision that we are approved for a tax, you know, a tax-free organization.
Yeah. Nick Watier.
Yes.
Caitlin Schuchart, or Schuchart, she's still working that out, are here from the Green Bay Film Festival. They're my guests in the studio right now. You guys have a different format, too. A lot of film festivals are all within 10 days, 6 days, 5 days. You space yours out.
Well, ours used to be that way.
Yeah.
It used to be a full day, a full weekend, and I would say before the pandemic, we kind of had the manpower to do that.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, as with most things, the pandemic caused a reshuffle, and we were, you know, we were over in De Pere at St. Norbert's, which was a beautiful spot, but sort of a cavernous theater, and we were really lucky to connect with Tarl over at the Tarleton, and so he was able to give us like a home, a full Green Bay
so
film
all
festival.
The films are at the Tarleton.
So everything's going to be at the Tarleton, and again, we've kind of got a skeleton crew. So what we've done is said, how can we stay relevant all year long? We can't get everybody from Green Bay to come. And it's a long day to pick, and then you have to choose which movies you want to go to. So we've kind of taken out the crappy part of a film festival. As we said, come for an afternoon. We've picked all these Wisconsin films or these noir films, and you can just stay for those. We can really celebrate that genre really well. And then, you know, come back and see us next month. So it kind of gives us a small taste and then lets us stay relevant and in everybody's minds throughout the year. So it's an experimental thing we're doing, but I think it's really working
first
for
year?
Us. So
this is the second year we've done this format. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the tagline that I put behind it is, it's hard to sit through a 3-hour football game. Mm. How can you expect someone to sit through more than 3 hours of film unless they're really a film buff?
Right.
So if we want to apply to the casual audience and teach them what film festival life can be like, let's make it fit their diet. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, that's really interesting. I thought that was, because I kept looking, I'm like, wait a minute, one day. And then I'm like, oh no, there's another one in a month.
Yeah.
So do they get $20 and then they get the whole rest of the day they see any film they want that day?
So you can come from 4 to 6, see what we're showing, 7 to 9, and then $20 gets you, you know, light appetizers.
And food, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then if, you know, hopefully we're lucky enough to bring the filmmakers here. And I think that's really a cool part, is getting to talk to them and break down their process and get some behind the scenes stuff. I mean, as a film nerd, that's where I really thrive and shine. So
you are a film nerd because you don't even really know your last name. And it doesn't sound like I can slap it's together a noir, because you guys sound pretty picky. But
it's a married last name.
Nick and Caitlin are here from the Green Bay Film Festival. We have more with them coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Pete will return with live programming on Wednesday, May 29th.
Welcome back. Nick Wattier and Caitlin Schuchart are here from the Green Bay Film Festival helping me close out Nightlight for this Thursday night. You guys talked about how you do things differently. You don't have it all packed into a week or 5 days or whatever. What films are you excited about that you're showing?
Well, our juried winner is called Greener Pastures, and it's by a Midwestern filmmaker, but we're going to have Farmer Jeff. So it's really about, like, farming, local farming, the decline of farming, sadly. But, you know, that was one of our favorites, and getting the director and the star to be with us, that's a big feather in our cap. We've got a really cool one, a romantic comedy that I'm pretty excited about. It's nice to get, you know, not just films about farm making and dairy in the Wisconsin zone, you know. So
it's funny. I think when a lot of people who aren't familiar with film festivals think of them as like these artistic, sometimes depressing, like, and they're so not. There are those films that are documentaries that are harrowing, but a good film festival has a good mix, I think, of films and has something for everybody. And, you know, it sounds like you guys have that.
That's the challenge, isn't it? Like, you know, keeping the wave going is you don't want people to be, dead inside at the end. And certainly you want them to come back to you for the next ride. So it's a delicate balance of kind of playing with their emotions. Yeah.
What's I was going to ask you about your venues, but it's just the Tarleton, like you said. And what, how do you compare to other film festivals? Do you communicate with them? I know there's Waiwega, there was Wildwood, there's different film festivals. Are you guys all friends, or how does that work?
With the local ones, I think we try to. I mean, Milwaukee and Wisconsin, they're just on a bigger level. They do things a little differently, but I think the local ones and the smaller ones we really identify with and try to stay connected to. I know.
Yeah, we have some great contacts with Wildwood Film Festival too. I know they took kind of a break year, but
are they coming back?
I believe so.
Okay.
I actually have to have a discussion with the board before I can have anything public here, but there might be some collaboration coming up.
Oh.
You know, again, to support our local filmmakers, one of those things Wildwood has always been about is they want to showcase that local art, and they want everybody to have screen time. And there are some ways we might be working together on that in the near future.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, even one of our fiscal receivers I talked about in the last segment, we're helping fund the project for filmmaker Freddie Moyano. He's working on a series right now called The Union House Hotel. First couple episodes just went up on Amazon
last
week.
Is he the guy that did the film here?
Yeah.
Room 108?
Yeah,
he did Room 108 here. Now he's working on a 7-episode series called Union House Hotel.
And shooting it all locally.
Shooting it locally.
Very nice.
Local talent.
Great.
He's all about getting as many people involved in the production as he can. But he also runs his own festival out of the Tarleton. We just did a screening for him, and was it January 6th, I believe? And, you know, he had his crew come. We had our people come. And, you know, it was a good opportunity to collaborate, get together. And, again, our goal is to get an audience for those artists. And trying to grow a group of artists.
Films are meant to be seen, right?
Yeah.
Films are meant to be seen with an audience. And I think that's one thing that Tarleton offers really nicely, is this really cozy spot with a great big screen that everybody can, you know,
everybody that walks in there absolutely loves that place. You can get a real dinner. You can,
I had someone from the Door County Short Film Festival in, like, I think a couple nights ago, and I asked him, and I'm going to ask you guys, and you kind of just said it, why are film festivals so important?
Yeah, because people, I mean, for the layperson, most people work on films for a very long time, from beginning to end, from conceptualizing, writing it, funding it, filming it, and they put so much time, effort, and energy, and often what they want is just eyes on it. Just to get people to see it is a huge, huge
obstacle.
And
that's what festivals provide, right?
I think festivals like ours are, we're trying to find those little guys who put everything into their film, and we see the quality, and we can give them an audience, a captive audience, and, you know, really give them a good send-off for all their hard work.
Well, and it's like Honor in the Air, which just wrapped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a television hour. So what is that, like 53 minutes or so? And she's been working on the project for over 2 years, you know, went through, I can't disclose exact budgets, but tens of thousands of dollars. And as the film is finished, just the nature of how it was built, she cannot sell it for commercial purposes. There's too much, you know, third party content. It's a documentary, so there's a lot of old footage and things included. But it's the passion of the filmmaker getting that story out there. So many of the filmmakers just love being in front of an audience, and the experience you can't get at your commercial theater is asking the follow up question.
Right.
You know, asking the process. I'm a process guy, right? When I don't necessarily care about what the fictional character did after the camera stopped rolling, but to talk about the process, how'd you get that shot?
Right.
Did you have a safety supervisor on for that stunt? Like, I can have those one-on-one conversations with the people that did it. It's an amazing experience.
You know, you guys just answered my two biggest, honestly, because film festivals, that's what they do. They provide a venue for, otherwise people would never see their work with an audience. And that's how rewarding it is for the filmmakers, for the audiences to have these Q&As and to see what they, like you said, the process, and to be able to ask the filmmakers that, I think is what it's all about. And it sounds like, where can people get tickets?
GBFilmFestival.org, right?
Mm-hmm. GBFilmFestival.org. You got something going on.
And day of, they can come on in.
Day of,
Okay.
This is great. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
We'll have to do it again. Before you're next, it's the Indigenous Experience, I think, is next.
Indigenous, March and then 9th, Female Perspective.
And then Female Perspective in April. So we'll have you back before then, too. That's great. Check out the Green Bay Film Festival. You can walk right into the Tarleton and get tickets, or go to the website, which is greenbayfilm.org.
O-R-G.
Mm-hmm. O-R-G. It's an O-R-G.
It's an
yes.
O-R-G.
We also have 833-4GB-FILM. Anyone needs information.
Fantastic. Outstanding stuff. Thank you so much, Nick Watier and Caitlin Shuchart, if that is your real name. I'm going to go slap together a noir, and we are about to get out of here. Thank you so much to my guests, Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother, Nick Watier and Caitlin Shuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival. Thank you for all your texts. Tomorrow night on the program, Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie, Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show, and a really cool guest I'm excited about, Dom Salvio from the Devil's Advocates. He's one half of Dom and Crute, and he'll be here tomorrow night in studio. It's a big in-studio week, Conrad. Have you noticed that?
It is. It is. It's great.
And that was John Williams' music we played before, because it's his birthday. He turns 91. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
Listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.